Welcome to the special edition of Geeks of the North, a hobby gaming podcast from the Belle Province. This week, Antoine and I are here with Miniature Monthly discussing their new Patreon. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the special edition of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And our special guest this week... Should I just call you Miniature Monthly, or should I individually name you?
We are Miniature Monthly.
Yeah.
We are.
You are Miniature Monthly. And for those of you who don't know, that's a team comprised of, well, I guess we'll go ladies first. So Elizabeth Beckley.
Hello.
Erin Lovejoy.
Hello.
Oh my God, and I forgot Jonathan's family name.
Jonathan Phillips Bradford.
Thank you. And we'll don't leave that in there, because that adds, like, realism to the show.
He's known only as Jonathan.
The Jonathan. The man with the mohawk.
That's right.
The mohawk. So guys, man.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's been an exciting couple weeks for you guys.
Definitely. The launch for Miniature Monthly has kind of blown our minds recently.
And drained us. Like, we're all exhausted, but very happy.
Yeah, it's
You're
definitely
always
draining.
Happy. Yeah, well, it's a lot of work, right? And it's tough because there's expectation, right? And living up to expectations is a big part of doing any type of project like this, because there's always that fear, right?
Yeah, we had no idea what, especially like the month building up to it was quite nerve-wracking, because we had no idea what people were going to like. We had no idea if it was going to work, and we just had to cram all the art and graphics and videos and get it all ready before the day, and then we just sit there and cross our fingers that next morning.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. You know, are we going to go bankrupt because of this life decision, you know?
Patreon is kind of the opposite of bankruptcy, right? You're doing this to earn money. I don't think there's any way to actually lose money, is there?
Well, it's your time. And
time is money, okay.
If I spend 2 weeks doing Patreon videos and not working, and I don't bring in any money, yes, I'm going bankrupt. My son does not eat. So yeah, it was a little bit scary.
Aaron's child is hungry.
Aaron's child is hungry.
and we wanted it to be really good. Like we want to give everything, you know.
We wanted to be professional.
Right. And so we knew it would take time.
What it is, for people who don't know.
Oh yeah. Aaron can tell people what it is. He's good at that.
So, Aaron, what is Miniature Monthly?
I don't know. It's just some crazy idea I came up with a little while ago. No. It's basically, I wanted to put out painting videos, but I wanted to do it in a way that was more learning, maybe. I see a lot of painting videos out there right now, and they show you how to paint, or they show the person painting, but... like, there's so much missed in between. Like, how did they do this? How did they do that? And so I wanted to just start from the very start. Like, here's our wet palette. How do we use it? Here's our brush. How do we use that? Those types of things. Now, that's kind of boring, and that was a fear right off the bat that, like, okay, these are going to be not the most exciting videos, and people will hate us, but it turned out to be the opposite. People really like the videos, you know, and we only have two videos up right now, you know? So basically I wanted to start from the very start, get people's, a foundation that they could work off of. So we're not going to go right into OSL because you don't even know how to paint, or you may know how to paint, but you don't know the techniques that can help you to paint OSL effects, you know, things like that. So we just started at the beginning, and we wanted to make it more like a schooling type thing. Here's a lesson. You learn the lesson. We do little things like little raffles each month. If you send in a picture of you practicing that lesson, you could end up winning, free coaching from either Elizabeth or I. So we wanted to have little incentives to get people to actually practice what they're seeing in the videos. That's the basic idea. And then it's grown from there. I mean, we've had so many, there's just so many ideas. It's crazy, you know? And now with how the page has blown up, just initially, all the things that I wanted to do that I thought, oh, this is going to be 2, 3, 4 years down the line, are starting to look like this might be possible this year. We might be able to do all this stuff this year. And yeah. That's super exciting.
I think Paul, I was going to say,
Go ahead.
I think we're almost at our first goal of $2,500 a month.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You're at 2,300, I think, or thereabouts.
Almost, we're almost at 24.
Oh, wow. I checked yesterday, I think it was. I thought it was 23.
Yeah, we're at 2,393 as of right now.
Yes. Awesome. Growing strong.
Yeah. So that's really, it's exciting. It is flattering that the community embraced it so quickly. And I'm super thankful for that. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, cool. Now we can do all this fun stuff. We can, you know, like the dreams that I had, you know, are like, it's a reality, you know, it's going to happen, you know? So that's super, super exciting.
And then, when Aaron actually brought this up to me at ReaperCon this past year, telling me his idea of starting his own Patreon page and wanted some video help on it and some advice. And then we discussed about making a team out of it because, you know, Elizabeth's a fabulous painter, as most people know, and I'm biased.
Well,
so
thank you.
I'm biased, but
yes, you don't. You certainly don't have to butter up your wife like that.
Yeah.
I made you dinner already.
I thought it was interesting that, you know, Aaron and Elizabeth both have very different painting styles. So you're having two different painters that have different things to offer with both their own individually strong fan bases. And you put those together.
No, that's absolutely right.
With my, with having, you know, video production in it, you're next increasing level. The quality. You're increasing the quality of the overall product, so we decided to make a partnership out of it instead of just me helping Aaron out. It's, you know, a whole team, which is another thing that I thought was makes Miniature Monthly a little bit more unique. Yeah. It's a team of artists working on something to build a community instead of a... I feel like a lot of Patreon pages almost feel like a support your artist, and we wanted to create a subscription service to support the community.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, that's what Patreon was originally designed for, right? Was to support your artist page, who's, you know, this person is starving and wants to produce stuff for you.
Right.
So help them eat. You know?
Yeah.
So well, in all fairness, that's fine.
I just wanted to give it more of a feel of a subscription service instead of a, you know, a support service. We want to help the community learn to paint. With a small fee, you're getting all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know what, why don't we talk a little bit about your painting histories? I mean, you've both had a successful painting career.
I really like to finger paint. Finger paint is pretty awesome.
Everyone but Jonathan has had a successful painting career. Jonathan has done some big work, though. We'll talk about that a bit afterwards. Aaron, why don't we start with you? What's your painting background? What's your claim to fame?
Well, I guess you could say I started when I was a little kid. You know, my dad would get the, you know, Tamiya tanks and stuff and put them together, and his always looked better than mine, and probably because he was an adult. but, you know, we painted our little Green Army men. I used to paint those little 1/72 scale Airfix models that you'd get at the hobby stores. And, of course, it was really basic, and it was all with enamel paints and stuff, and I never really thought of it as, like, I just wanted to color them. I didn't care that they looked good or anything. And then when I got older, of course, I discovered girls and skateboarding and all that other stuff. And so, you know, life went on. And then one day I just happened to walk into a game store, which I didn't even know existed. I was 30 years old at the time, and I didn't even know a game store existed. And they had some Games Workshop stuff. And I was blown away. This guy had all his models out on a table and he was painting them, like just dry brushing them and stuff. And I remember looking at him and it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And, so then I forgot about it. And like 2 years later, I was at a movie and there was a Wizards of the Coast store. And I was like, I wonder if they have those little army men in here. So I walked in and they did. They had 40K and I was like, I was sold. I mean, it looked cool. It looked like Star Wars. It looked like, you know, I loved the way the Space Marines looked and stuff. And so I just, I started painting. I found a local gaming community. And the gaming was fun. But luckily in San Diego, we had a really good painting and hobby community too. And so everyone was trying to one up each other. It wasn't so much on like display figures. It was on your whole army. So everyone was one upping each other on their armies, you know, who could paint them better, who had the most conversions, all that stuff. And so that's kind of what got my drive to get, you know, start getting better, you know? And then, you know, I started doing little painting contests in town and the local cons and stuff. And then one day I discovered Games Day and I was like, cool, I'm going to go there and I'm going to win. And, yeah, I lost for 5 years straight to the point where I was like, am I ever going to figure this out? You know? But one day I did. I finally won a Games Day. I won a Golden Demon and that was really cool because it was a lot of hard work. You know, it seems like everything in painting has been a lot of hard work for me. Nothing was really easy. And that's another reason why I think my Patreon page is good for people, because if I can do it, I know everyone else can do it, you know? Because I just worked hard to get where I'm at. And then, you know, other things happened. I did other contests, then I lost my job. I started painting professionally, which I never thought could be a thing either. And then here I am today doing a miniature monthly. So
woo,
16 years real quick.
and you've won all kinds of awards, right? You've won several demons, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I have 9 golden demons. I won 3 Sophie trophies, which are some of my favorites. Those are the succubus trophy. Those are really cool. And then they retired me, so I can't win any more of those. But I have a cool crystal trophy, the MSP trophy. So I'm in their Hall of Fame, which that was actually a really big honor, because it's not just how well you paint, it's how you are in the community too. So it's like a double thing, double award. So that was really neat. I got a couple of crystal brushes. And then I've won a bunch of Draconic awards. I won their best in show.
He's got a dagger.
Yeah, I've got this cool dagger that's real. Like, if I'm waiting for someone to break in my house so I can stab him.
knives. I can't imagine things much scarier than that.
Yeah, it's going to be a slash attack. But yeah, you know, I've done a bunch of historical shows and won, you know, medals and stuff there. I just really like being part of it, though. It's not, I mean, it's fun to win awards, and that's definitely been a drive in my painting, but I also like being a part of it. I want to be part of the contest, you know. I don't just want to, like, I want to support it, you know. And so I think that's fun, you know, when everyone comes and shows their art. I think that's really cool. I love looking at other people's miniatures, mainly because they're not mine, you know. I'm sick of looking at my own stuff. And other people have different ideas, stuff that I've never even thought about before, you know, and it's always fun to look at that and admire, you know, other people's work. So that's one of my favorite things about contests now. Like, Crystal Brush last year was ridiculous. Yeah. That was like the ultimate art show. Same with ReaperCon.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, ReaperCon has a lot of really good stuff. And, you know, from all different levels of painters, and it's not always, you know, 2 years ago at ReaperCon, there was this model called Drive It Like It's Stolen. And it was like a moon buggy with 2 mouselings driving. They're going over the dunes on the moon. And I thought that was one of the best ideas I've ever seen in my life. The painting wasn't the greatest. And even the modeling wasn't the greatest. But the idea, I had great, I mean, the idea was unbelievable. And, you know, that person's had a couple years to learn more, themselves. So I'm sure they've leveled up and all that stuff. But things like that I really enjoy looking at other people's work, and it's a real inspiration, you know?
And that's great. And like you said, it's about the community. And when you can participate in the community, at a show, you'll get so much more out of it.
Right. Right.
And
yep.
I've taken a class with you before. And
I'm sorry.
And I actually had you sit in on another class. I took a class with Ben Comets, and you sat in on it.
Okay.
And you were joking around. And actually, no, sorry. He sat in on your class. That's what it was. It was last year at Defcon.
He sat in on my wet blending class that had loaded brush in it, and that was really nerve-wracking teaching loaded brush to Ben Comets. But it was cool.
He said the brush is a bit different.
He said afterwards, he said, I wanted to see your take on it. And the I had contacted him before that, and I said, hey, are you okay with me, you know, teaching loaded brush? And he's like, yeah, sure. It's not, I didn't make the technique. It's just, you know, it got named after him, got famous because of him. But he goes, I want to see how you adapted to like how you do it
to your painting style.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it's definitely different because there's certain things that I just, you know, when I watch a video and learn a technique, I will try it really hard for a week or two. And then usually by then I'm super frustrated and I just can't, I like every once in a while I get it, but usually I don't. And so what I do is after a week or two of trying it, I just throw it all away and I start painting like I used to paint. And I find that that technique works its way into my normal painting. And all of a sudden I have this hybrid of the loaded brush. And it's the same with other techniques too. And then it works for me. Yeah, it works. It totally works for me. So that's what I tell people. Watch my video, try it out, and then forget it and let it ooze into your painting, you know? I think that's the best way. You got to have your own style. You know, what works for you may not work for me at all. You know, but the techniques are all similar. And if you just find a way of using that technique in your style, boom, you're set.
Yeah. James calls it DNA. You know, you take someone else's painting DNA and you mix it with your own.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I think,
pretty much.
That's pretty a great
much
way of putting it.
You get a strange hybrid of it. And yeah. But, you know, if you try to follow that exactly, it's going to drive you nuts. You know, it was driving me nuts. Like there was a certain point where I'd watched so many Painting Buddha videos. And I think I'd gone to Alfonso's class, Banshee's class. And I literally sat down one day to work and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know how to paint. You know, and this was like 2 years ago, you know, like I knew how to paint, you know, but I had so much rattling around in my head, you know, so many techniques, so many styles and so much stuff. And I couldn't grasp any of them completely. And finally, out of desperation, I needed to work. I needed to make money. So I just said, you know what? I'm going back to the way I used to paint. And sort of by accident, I learned that, you know, learning by osmosis, because within 2 weeks, I knew that my paint style had changed. And had incorporated these other techniques, but it had incorporated them in a way that I could do them now, you know, and I just continued on. So, you know, ever since then, I've always approached painting videos or classes that way. I try it the way they showed me and then I forget it and just let it happen, you know.
That's very Zen. I like that. Just let it happen. Okay, Liz, what about you? What's your painting background? We've actually discussed this on the show before, but we'll reiterate for the purpose of the...
Yeah, and hopefully my stories match up, you know? You never know.
I'll compare later.
It's different every time.
It's different every time. Well, I guess I would have to say that I always have to start off and say I give a nod to my uncle, who, as growing up as a small child, he always had... on his bookshelves, he always had miniatures, and I remember playing with them when I was a little kid. So, you know, fast forward, I don't know, however many years later, I was 22, and he's like, here's this really great game you should play. You should play D&D. And I was like, okay. And he's like, by the way, you're an artist. You like to paint miniatures. Here you go. You can paint these. And so I just started painting the miniatures, and he had his own private miniature painter, I guess. Like, maybe that's what his thought was. I mean, he still makes me paint his miniatures when I go over there from, like, the 80s.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You owe it all to him.
I owe it all to him. So, I mean, I started going to Gen Con, and, you know, I got to see people. I remember one year I went, I like maybe had gone 2 years before I really got into miniature painting professionally. And like, I remember seeing Jen Haley and I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even go up and like say hello to her. I just watched her from afar, like a really like a creeper. so that, and then I went to Crystal Brush one year. That was the first year Jonathan was there too.
Yep.
I met Jonathan there and I entered my first contest, which was a crystal brush, and I won third place in the single fantasy award. And after that, started talking to Jonathan, moved to Georgia, started working at Cool Money or Not. And then I got to work under Jen Haley for almost 2 years and just been painting ever since. So, but I think I've been painting.
That's a cool mentorship to have.
It really is. I think it was almost 2 years, wasn't it, Jonathan?
Yeah, it was definitely at least 2 years.
Yeah, it was at least 2 years. And I learned so much. It was crazy. So
yeah, kid. You'll go places.
but and yeah, and I think
I was so full of it, but it worked.
And I married you. Oh, goodness. But I think now I've been painting four and a half, almost 5 years professionally. So I don't have as many years as Aaron, but I mean, I'm still going strong. So, you know.
I think it's interesting.
I hope you're going strong.
Yeah. What I think it's interesting is you can see Aaron was more inspired by, like, you know, toy soldiers and military and army. And Elizabeth was more inspired by fantasy and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff.
And, like, anime, because I paint those chibis, and I loved anime when I was in high school.
I think you can still see that in their work, where they originally were inspired from, and their contrast between the two of them.
Right, right. I'm still very much a treadhead, very, I feel like, kind of aggressive with my painting. Delicately aggressive. But that was one of the things, you know, when I first started thinking this up, it was right after Gen Con. I was like, you know, I need to do something. I need to think about my future. You know, mortality was hitting me and all that stuff. And I, you know, I realized that, you know, I'm not going to be able to paint forever, you know, and what am I going to leave behind? And is it just going to be like, hey, remember that guy way back in the early 2000s, you know, or could I leave something that was maybe more meaningful, you know? And so I thought, you know what? I needed to start doing videos. Never did a video before. Didn't have a video camera. I had nothing, you know? And I just started thinking up, like, what am I going to do? Well, early on, I was like, well, I don't want it just to be me, because I'm a very pro painter. Not professional painter. I'm pro painter. I want painters to be successful. Like, I know how hard it is being a commission painter working for companies. You know, it's very hard. It's
soul sucking is the word you're looking for.
Yes, it's a very hard life. Let me tell you. You know, financially, it's very rewarding, but it's not the most lucrative business. And I've always been, you know, kind of like a proponent of, like, hey, you know, you guys need to make more money, like charge more or whatever. And I know customers don't want to hear that, but these guys are starving to death, you know, and it's just the way it is. And so I've always been very encouraging to other painters. And I thought, how can I make something that could possibly affect the lives of other painters too, and make their lives better, and maybe, you know, maybe make a roadmap, or either they could come along with me for the ride, whatever it is. I want to make life better for not just me, but for other painters in my same field. And so very early on, I knew that I wanted to bring in other painters to Miniature Monthly. Of course, it wasn't Miniature Monthly then. It was kind of just nothing. It was Aaron's Paint Emporium or something, you know. But literally, Elizabeth was the first name I thought of. And part of that was because I knew she'd already done videos. I knew her husband did videos. So I was like, well, okay, that might be a good fit, because she can actually produce something, you know, and we could get rolling. You know, they won't have to learn how to videotape and stuff like I'm doing, or like maybe other painters would have to do. But she also had a different style than me. She's a very good painter, and she's a doer. She learns. She's not afraid to go out and learn new techniques and things like that. And I really, really like that, because that's exactly how I approached painting. Is I was like, I want to learn, you know. I don't care about, I want to ask other people how they did things and, you know, and that type of thing. I'm not afraid to do that. And I've seen how much she's increased in her levels over the last few years. Because of that, you know, she wasn't too proud to ask, you know, she wasn't too proud to say, hey, you know what? I need help with this. And that's a good quality. I really like that quality. And so she was literally the first person I thought of. But like I said, I'm pro painter. I don't want people to suffer because of me. We're already suffering because of art. You know, I don't want other people suffering because of my idea. And so, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to build it up myself. And then when there's enough money, I'll bring her on, and then maybe somebody else on, whatever. But at ReaperCon, as we talked, you know, Jonathan and I were talking, and I'm like, what if we just go in at 50-50? We both have the same, you know, we either both go bankrupt or we'll make it, you know? And so it was kind of cool actually finally having someone else to work on the project with me, because it was all me by myself before that. And Jonathan definitely, I mean, that trailer video was like out of this world. You know, I mean,
I love that video.
Before Jonathan came on board, I had a 14-year-old kid making my trailer video. It was my friend's son at my son's friend at school. And so I was like, you know, if this isn't Zeph style, then nothing is, because we were like totally ghetto at the moment, you know? And we're filming this video. This 14-year-old's like editing it, and he was okay. But it wouldn't have been anything like what Jonathan.
And that's actually the video we used. We never got to see my video.
Oh, so it was better?
Yeah, his was way better than mine, so we just went with that 14-year-olds.
The funny thing is, Jonathan made that video about 2 or 3 weeks before we launched, or maybe it was a month before. It was very early on. And I must have watched that video 250 times.
You showed it to your parents.
I watched it 10 or 20 times every night before I went to bed. And was like, this is so cool. And I'm like, and then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh God, we have to follow this up with actual painting videos. Like, oh, I don't know. I'm scared.
I just thought it was hilarious, the contrast. You had, you know, Aaron talking and throwing up gang signs.
Yeah.
And then you had Elizabeth Beckley in front of the fireplace, like all prim and proper.
Yeah, I really wanted to do the fireplace scene just because I knew Aaron, it would just be a funny joke. I don't know if everybody got the joke of Elizabeth at the fireplace. I'm like, oh, hi. But
yeah, it was very, I don't even know what.
Anchorman-esque or something.
Yeah.
It was really hot that day. I think it was almost 80 degrees.
And then you got the fire on.
And we had the fire on. I'm like, this is such a terrible idea.
I have to make the blooper reel between the two of them.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I definitely have to have a lot of beeps to bleep out certain things that are said between the two of them.
But, yeah, there may have been a couple audio files or video files from me that you bleeped out the entire thing.
Yeah. I have to make a blooper reel of that one of these days. It'll be great. Awesome. There's just one part, Elizabeth's like halfway through her line. She's like, just so hot, and just gets up and leaves. I'm like, we have to use the fire. It's too good.
So yeah, definitely
step outside.
Definitely bringing Jonathan and Elizabeth on board right away, and then thankfully the initial success of the project makes me feel better, because they are getting money for their work, for their effort, which was very important for me from the very start. You know, it's easy for me to say, okay, I'll eat top ramen, but when I got two or three other people eating nothing because of me, it doesn't work well with my head, you know?
Right.
So, I'm forever grateful to all the fans and the people that signed up initially. I mean, that was amazing. You know, we hit 300 and we're like, oh my gosh, we're Spartans, you know?
Well, another very big deal was all the sponsors we got. That was a huge part.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Nine corporate sponsors.
Yeah, I wanted to have...
Before we get in that...
Okay.
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off here. Before we get in that, we kind of skipped poor Jonathan's history. Oh. Jonathan, give us a little bit of background on you, and then we'll go into your sponsors, because I know you got a ton of sponsors, and there's some really key guys in there.
All right, so my history is, of course, video production. After college, doing film school, I worked for Discovery Channel for a few years. And then worked for a couple different TV stations and TV shows, mostly reality TV type stuff, and Auction Kings and Bait Car, if you're familiar with those shows. Wasn't a big fan of it. I didn't enjoy working on sets all the time. It wasn't really rewarding. And then my buddy Curtis Shoemake was working at Cool Money or Not, and he said they're looking for a full-time video guy. And I've always loved board games and gaming and such. So I got a job there and just fell down a huge rabbit hole of the gaming industry. Like I loved board games in the past, but had no idea how in depth it can get. Like I liked playing Munchkin and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I played Zombicide, and that was most of it. And then I get a job at Cool Money or Not and become their video producer, which was fantastic for a really long time. I learned a lot working there, because I kind of had to become a one-man video team. You know, I did everything from the Kickstarter trailer to motion graphics, the gameplay videos, convention coverage, and everything. And learned a lot doing it, and fell in love with the gaming industry, and I wanted to be able to grow and offer my services to everyone. Because there was more, I realized there was more I could do in starting my own company, and who doesn't want to be their own boss, right? So I started I started Eldritch Studios, and now I do Kickstarter trailers and video production for several large game companies, including Cool Money or Not, Ninja Division, Cryptozoic Entertainment, you know, a lot of the big names these days, which has been fantastic, which is pretty awesome for been doing Eldritch Studios on my own for a year now, and working for a lot of the big companies, and hopefully some other big names coming up soon. And that's how I got started doing video and falling in love with the gaming industry. And then my wife, who I met at
Adepticon,
my first year there, I was actually doing the photography for Crystal Brush, which, funny story, I just got that job like a few weeks before Adepticon, and they were like, oh, you do video. That means you know how to take pictures. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Have you ever taken mini photos? No, but you'll figure it out. So that
It'll be fine.
Yeah. So that was quite nerve-wracking, never knowing anything about like macro photography and miniature photography. So I apologize for that year's photos.
There's only a $10,000 award, you know, due to these photos. No pressure.
And they're like handling all these miniatures that are like insanely fragile. That was quite nerve-wracking, but I did meet Elizabeth, which was great because, you know, that worked out pretty well. And then, oh, and funny story about that Crystal Brush. Curtis Shoemake was working with Quimini still then, and he was helping me with putting the miniatures out and getting prepared to get photographed. And he knew I had no idea about magnetized miniatures, and he knew I was super nervous and stressed out about trying to make sure I do this right and not mess up the minis. And I set down this squad of magnetized Space Marines, and then all their arms fall off. And I about had a heart attack because I thought I just broke this whole team, not knowing that there's these magnets in them. And then I look over and Curtis is just laughing at me. So that was my introduction to Crystal Brush.
Wow. Trial by fire.
Yeah.
Poor Hugh.
But it worked out okay. Attack. You know, it got a lot nicer when Jen Haley was on board and was able to do things, so she has way more experience with doing photos of minis than I ever have. I would say I got decent at taking mini photos, but I would definitely still to the day not say it's my strong suit by any means. I can get by. I'm more definitely video oriented and animation and filming. Cool. And well, then I mean we kind of already covered how I got into Miniature Monthly, what Aaron just talked about. So
yep. No, we can definitely see your talents. I mean, you've done some really big Kickstarter videos.
Yeah, it's exciting. It feels really cool. Like I feel like I was part of the big movement of Kickstarters for the industry, and how the videos became almost a must-have.
Yeah, you were part of the whole, you know, how Cool Mini Not revolutionized pre-order taking.
Yes, essentially. like, because nowadays you essentially need a good video because that's what's expected now, and I feel like I was kind of a part of that. Which is
yeah, definitely. Cool. The videos help grab the people, right?
It's your big it's your number one, it's your first marketing push once they go to the page.
That's how you make them look for more. That's how you hook them. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been exciting.
Very cool. All right, so now let's go back to that topic Aaron was about to jump into before.
Okay, what was that?
Yeah, you guys have got some amazing sponsors. So tell us about that.
So when I was first putting together the whole plan and everything, I needed a marketing avenue, and I knew that I could do grassroots myself. You know, I had a bunch of friends who, you know, I knew would help share the page and everything, but I was like, I need some, you know, I want this to be big. I want it to go. I just want to hit hard right away. And so, so I thought, hey, what if I just ask, you know, some of my friends in the industry, you know, people that I already work with and that I like, if they would sponsor me. And basically all I asked them for was to help promote the page. And then we would pimp them in the videos and stuff. And, you know, they get their logo on the videos and all that thing. And I fully expected everyone to say no. and everyone said yes. Well, every single company that I went to, there was the original six, and then that turned into eight, or I think, and then the day before the launch, Jose from Big Child was like, hey, what, you know, why didn't you guys contact us? Or he was asking what the countdown was, so I sent him the video because I figured it's the day before. They can't copy it and steal it from us, you know. It'll be okay. Because we kept this a big secret. I mean, this was, like, really under lock for a long time. And And so I sent him the video, and he just sent me one of those emoticons, you know, the face going, oh, you know. And he goes, and his next comment was, why didn't you contact us, you know? And you know, I'm reading it, but I felt the sternness behind it. Like, what's wrong with you, you know? And I'm like, I'm thinking, well, you're Big Child. You're another painting service. I mean, you know, why would I get you guys to sponsor me? You could do this yourself, you know? And then I realized he was like, well, we have miniatures and, you know, we'd like to sponsor you and do some giveaways and stuff. And so I was like, oh, okay. So that was our ninth sponsor of the original sponsors on the original launch.
And then I had to go edit the video of the, like, within 12 hours before the launch.
Yeah. Jonathan was almost dead at this point. You know, he was almost dead, I think. And we're like, oh, that'd be really cool to get Big Child in on this right at the start. And so he's like, I'm just going to do it. But I think that we all went the extra mile on this because we all had a vested interest in it. You know, the better it does, the better we do. Financially, you know, if not anything else. And so we really did put in, you know, as much effort as we possibly could put into this, you know, aside from doing the work that we had to do for clients and everything, you know, we had to split things up a little bit. But yeah, it was really exciting. And then since it launched, we've got some other big names that wanted to come aboard. So we're going to have a second push. And we'll announce the new sponsors and stuff. They're all the sponsors that we have though are like products, that we use. Like, you know, there's no like, hey, here's this paint line that I don't ever use. But I'm going to say that I like it because they're sponsoring us.
Right.
It's not that case. We've brought in people that we like personally, like we like working with them. And we've been around, I mean, between the three of us, we've been around the industry for quite a while. I don't know how to put it, but it's people that we want to support, you know, and I want the sponsors to do well as well. I want them to, you know, look at this and go, hey, you know what? Because of this site, we've done better. You know, we've gotten more fans coming to our site or whatever. And so I want everyone to benefit from this, not just the patrons benefit by getting knowledge and sometimes free stuff, from Miniature Monthly, but then the sponsors benefit because, you know, maybe it helps them in sales in a certain area.
It's exposure.
Yeah, exactly. And so I want it to be a good feeling for everyone, you know, that's my main goal with this. And I know that's not always possible. But I'm working hard to make that a reality all the way across the board. The other really cool thing with the sponsors is we're actually working with Patrick Keith, and we haven't said anything yet, but we will be posting pictures pretty soon of the miniature that he's making for Elizabeth's first series of lessons.
I'm really excited.
Yeah,
sculpting a miniature specifically for Miniature Monthly.
Yes. Right. It's going to be a 75 millimeter miniature, similar to the one he just sculpted a few months ago, but obviously different. Yeah, we're super excited about that because it's basically going to be a 6-month course of her painting each section of that miniature, and you can purchase the model through Bombshell. Only patrons of our site can purchase that model right up front. And then you can paint along with Elizabeth as we go. And then once
it's either going to be an exclusivity, like we get it a month early,
or we'll get it,
or the all patrons will get like a discount with a promo code.
Yes,
so right.
Oh my God, take my money.
Yeah. believe me, I might actually purchase two or three myself. Yeah. I'm gonna have to get that promo code. besides the one Patrick sends me. that's super Patrick's exciting because we get to work with our friends in the industry. Patrick, I love his work, you know, and it's like, man, that would be really cool to have. It was actually, this is one of his ideas. You know, when I was pitching the sponsorship to him, he said, what if I did something special for you guys? And that only your patrons could purchase at first, and maybe, you know, 2 or 3 months down the line, he would release it publicly. But the patrons would actually get first dibs on it. Our patrons will see the work in progress pictures before anybody else, you know, that type of thing. So I think it's kind of exciting. And then once we get into the painting of the model, you're going to have, you know, you have the option of purchasing one of those models and painting along with Elizabeth. With that same model, I'm going to make a custom display base for it. So it's going to be kind of a joint miniature that will probably enter into World Expo or something as a joint project. But then, as a patron of the site, you can make the base and you can paint the model and you'll have videos of all those steps. So that's cool. Super exciting. We're super excited about that. And, you know, with the people that we have on board right now, Reaper, Flying Frog with their Shadows of Brimstone line, there's a lot of companies that make really cool miniatures and, we can do something similar with them in the future. So we're really excited about that. You know, I think it would be kind of fun. And it's always good when you're practicing techniques to practice them on the same model that the person doing it is, you know. That's the one thing I really appreciated about the original Painting Buddha videos, was you got a miniature with the video, you know. And so you could practice along with Ben and you know, and all that. So I wanted to do something similar, and that's how we're going to do that. So the sponsorship thing is really cool. The other thing is once we started rolling and people started getting excited about the project and our sponsors saw the trailer video, I never asked for any free product from them. It's kind of weird for me. They all started offering up things like Tableware offered the Tableware mini case. So in our first 3-day push, we were able to give away one of those. We gave away some Dark Sword minis. So it's actually made it more exciting because now we can have more raffles each month for random stuff for people. So, you know, it keeps it kind of interesting. And I know with all our sponsors, they have really cool stuff. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want to win a Big Child model or something, you know? So
yeah, for sure. And you have to keep in mind, it's actually, for the return they're getting, for the exposure they're getting, it's a very minimal investment for them to give you some free minis to give away.
Right.
So they're super happy to get that marketing from you guys for such a small investment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. And so everyone wins. Everyone
do we
wins.
Want to talk about what we just heard from Badger about what we're about to add to the giveaway this month, or is that still a secret?
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Oh, what did Ken say now?
You guys get the first bit of news before we release it.
News for you.
Ooh.
So Ken was another one. You know, I said, hey, I'm starting this new project. Would you like to sponsor it? He goes, what does that entail? And I could kind of tell he was a little leery, you know, like, oh my gosh, what, you know, another thing that I got to fork out things for. And I was like, all I need you is to pimp me, you know, do an email blast, put my face or put our project all over the place. He's really good at that on Facebook and everything. And that's it. And he goes, I'm in. So yeah. The first day,
zero cost.
Yeah,
I'm in.
the first day, I get a text about halfway through the day and it was just crazy. Cause like my phone and computer didn't stop beeping all day.
So
I mean,
crazy.
It was like, it was insane. And, I mean, my bedroom was like buzzy, you know, and I get this text and he goes, hey Aaron, by the way, this is what we're giving you every month. And he just starts listing off stuff. And I'm like,
well, possibly every month we can't.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah. He said he would do it as long as he could. And I think if he starts seeing the benefit from our site too, you know, people, you know, if his sales go up or I don't know, but he said he would give us free stuff as long as he could. They have a certain budget that they can go each year. And so we're getting a SOTAR 2020 and a Patriot 105 and a set of ghost tents, every month.
All very cool products.
Yeah.
And so that's the airbrush, the compressor, and the paints, right?
No.
Airbrushes.
Yeah. Two airbrushes and paint. The so airbrush, amazing. Air compressor, and the paints will be on when we hit milestone goals, like our first goal. Except he ran out of compressors, so that will be the next goal. We'll get a compressor. but yeah. So he's in big. You know, he really believes in what we're doing and thinks it's a really good project. The cool thing is next month my video is on airbrushing. So, you know, a couple people will win airbrushes at the end of this month and they'll be able to use them next month in my airbrushing classes.
And then
so.
I think that when we go to Adepticon, we were invited to tour the facility, right? And Jonathan will probably make a video.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely. He was like, yeah, stop on by and everything. So.
That's really awesome.
That would be really cool. So I was really shocked at that. You know, I thought it was neat and I'm happy for our patrons because, you know, several people a year will get free airbrushes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And Badger and has free a really painted good minis
and yeah. all sorts of other prizes.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the painted miniatures, Elizabeth and I had decided for our launch, I would do one the first month and she'd do one the next month. And then we'd have to wait till we hit our goal, you know? We're like $100 away from our goal. So I think there will be a free painted miniature every month from now until eternity. and eventually, I forget which goal it is, but there are a couple goals down the line. We actually will start both making a miniature every month and giving it away. So eventually, there will be two studio-level miniatures painted a month that will be giveaways. So and that's exciting, too.
That's exciting because we get to choose what we want to paint. And both of us don't get to choose all the time what right. we want to paint because of work. So, yeah. Well,
that's another thing that's interesting about having Aaron and Liz as a team is both of them are full-time studio painters. That's their main job, right? It's their whole career is nothing but painting. As opposed right. to, you know, some of the big artists, it may not necessarily be their day job. But these are two artists who have learned to make a living off of painting.
Yeah.
Which I thought was another added bonus of the two of them working well together as a team.
Right.
And that's just crazy in of itself. Like, I quote unquote would love to be able to paint full time as a job. But on the other hand, I can understand how, like,
soul crushing
that could be. Yeah. Well, because the thing is, when your passion becomes a job, it's hard to keep it your passion.
Right.
Right.
And I would argue that
the way
well, you're nuts.
The way I got around that is I allow myself to hate my job.
So I think Elizabeth is quite strange. Like, for example, I love making my videos. I love my job. But when I'm done working for the day, I don't just go start making another video for fun. Elizabeth will be working all day painting a miniature and call it a night and be done working. And then pick up a miniature and continue painting just for fun, which I do not understand whatsoever. And I think it's just ludicrous.
She's young and has not been broken yet.
It's like, I like making videos, but I'm not just going to stop working on a video and then start doing one for fun on my free time.
Right.
Jonathan, can you go play a video game? Good. I'm going to paint.
Yeah.
I used to do that as well, and I think I aged out of that.
I don't do it all painting, the time.
I just do it every night.
Yeah.
What makes me laugh, Jonathan, is I used to do Hangouts with your wife, Google Hangouts. We'd chat and stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually she started ditching me. Oh, I can't. I have to go spend quality time with Jonathan. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like a couple days later, so what'd you guys do? Well, he played video games and I painted.
That's awesome.
Well, usually he'll sit in the same room as I will. So it works.
But apparently you can't listen to him play video games and paint while talking to me. So I was only slightly hurt. That's why I stopped asking you for hangouts. You know, I get the
hint. Oh, I'm sorry.
So you know how, like, wives complain about, like, football widows? How they never get their husbands because all they do is watch football during football season?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of a miniature painting widower. My wife is just nonstop painting minis. Like, the other day, I was like, hey, you know, we can watch Christmas movies and stuff like we thought of. She was like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, Heath just got on. You should go play video games with Heath. I'm like, oh, okay. And she runs off and starts painting.
You wake up middle of the night. There's, like, a light coming from under the covers. You lift it up. There's a flashlight, and Liz is painting in bed. Yeah.
Her wet palette is leaking all over you.
I wouldn't put it past her. I really wouldn't.
We could go somewhere so wrong with that. Yes. This is a family show. Aaron brings out the worst.
Yeah, it happens. You were at the ReaperCon after party. You know how it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Starts going downhill, and then bad things happen.
You know, one thing I wanted to say earlier, but I didn't get a chance because Aaron wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
You guys actually are a great team for this because you are both two of the most approachable painters I've ever met. And I've met quite a few of the well-known painters in the industry over the years. Both you are super personable, will talk to anyone, are really happy to offer advice and constructive criticism. So it's great that you guys are doing this. There are a few other professional painters that I could see doing this the way you are.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I think I'm happy to say I'm one of your supporters. And I support you people because, well, it's okay. You're lovable.
I'm the glue.
And I'm happy to support you guys because I know what you give back to the community.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And awesome. the funny thing about this, doing this project, is suddenly I'm like, it really has freed me up and opened me up, because everything I do now, like, the more I help people, the better our page does, it seems like. And so it's like, okay, well, before it was like, okay, well, if I help this person, you know, somebody sends me a private message with a picture or whatever, and usually it's like, oh, that looks great, or, you know, a little tidbit, I can give them a little bit of advice, but that starts taking up a lot of time, you know, if that happens three or four or five times a day, like, I can't work. And so there's that stress of like, we got to eat, you know? And so you really start going halfway with all your answers for things. Oh, it looks great, you know, or, you know, you try to just, I don't want to say blow people off, but literally you're like, I got to work, you know? And then you forget or something if you have free time. But now it's like, hey, this is, you know, Patreon has made it possible that I can actually spend a little more time with these people, you know, just a random person off, you know, off the internet. And that's like a really good feeling, because I don't feel that pressure anymore of going, you know, I know that Patreon, that we're going to get some money at the start of the month. And so that will help with bills or, you know, whatever, food, that type of thing. And, you know, yes, we still all have to have our normal day jobs, but it takes the pressure off, you know, that much. And so that helps. It's allowed me to give more of myself. And that's a great, great feeling, you know, because there's like so much inside my head. Like right now, I'm freaking out because we're in our first month. We're going to have 4 videos, and I have like 10,000 things I want to tell people, you know? And I'm like, I just wish somehow we could make, you know, Jonathan, just, we put him in a hyperbaric chamber and somehow keep him awake for, you know, all of us in chambers, and we just make videos nonstop until we get them all done, you know? I know that's not possible, but it's like, there's so much stuff. There's so much cool stuff that I want to share. And if it makes people's life a little bit easier, all these things, I know how long it took me to learn, you know? My airbrush, I mean, it was a good 3 or 4 year process to finally get it to the point where I'm like, I know how this thing works. I know I can do, you know, whatever I need to do. I've got it on lock. But before that, it was like this nightmare of just, you know, trial and error and all these things. And, you know, every 6 months I'd have this epiphany and go, oh, that's how you do that. I wouldn't give that to people in 15 minutes, you know, because that's what I wish I had, you know. I wish I had this when I was starting, you know. And Elizabeth is a perfect example of this. You know, she came along at a time where there weren't a whole lot of painting videos and stuff, but there was a lot more classes and coaching and stuff going on at convention centers. And that really helps raise the level. You know, there's people out there who have, that have really good imagination, have really good ideas, but they just don't have the skills to do them. They don't have the know-how to do the techniques to make that happen. And a lot of times they just get discouraged halfway through because it takes time. And they quit. And so all that imagination is lost. You know, all those ideas are just die, you know? And, right. And so I think the coolest thing about this project is we're allowing people's to be able to create whatever they want to create. You know, I remember the day when I was like, I can do whatever I want. This is an awesome feeling. Like, I'm not scared about how to do this or how to do that. I know how to get the paint on the model. It's just a matter of putting the colors in the right spot, you know? And I remember distinctly when that kind of occurred, and I was like, this is a really good feeling, you know? Now, do I have days where I can't paint anything? Yes, that still happens. But I've got enough knowledge in my head to get through that day. And then the next day maybe is the best painting day I ever had, you know? But it's really cool to finally go to a painting contest and not paint the colors I know how to paint. I can paint any color, you know? I remember my first few games days, you know, everything was like blue or red because those were the only two colors I could get to kind of blend a little bit. And so when you're hogtied by two colors, how do you make anything awesome? You know, I mean, you can, but what if I want those two colors and two other colors that I don't know how to paint? Well, then I got a problem, right? So I'm back to my two colors I can paint. But slowly but surely, I learned techniques. I learned how to do things. And now it's like, it doesn't matter what the color is. It doesn't matter anything. I can figure it out. And so I'm not limited in my vision by my skill, you know? I can kind of do whatever. And that's a feeling I want everyone to have, you know? I think it's really cool. And you can only imagine like the insane stuff that will be coming out, you know, because people can actually get those crazy thoughts out of their head, you know?
One of the things I thought was really neat just on the first few days of the Patreon, besides, you know, the numbers skyrocketing on the first day was, I think by the second day, there was already people posting pictures and sharing their work in progress and showing them practicing the lessons.
That was super cool. And I really like that we have a community section on Patreon, and we've had a lot of people sharing their feedback there too.
Yeah.
With what they've been doing with the lessons.
It's like, I think we all kind of had an emotional moment when we noticed like the first post, I think it was by Kevin Fannin,
showing
that he got himself a wet palette and he's practicing his new color practices we did from lesson two.
Yeah.
It was already on the second day, and it was like, holy crap, people are doing this. Like, people are actually loving the lessons and practicing. And
yeah. And Kevin's a perfect example, because that guy is super gung-ho, and, you know, he can only go up, you know, because he's putting in effort. And that's where, like, for me, it took a massive amount of effort to get good at painting. I just kept beating my head against that wall until the wall broke through, you know? And I want to maybe impart a little bit of that on other people that are a little more timid maybe, and they're just like, it's not working. Well, now we're giving you the tools to hopefully let it work, you know? And it's really cool seeing people practice. I mean, I did paint classes at my local game store a couple years ago. I did like a series of 3 months worth of classes every Sunday, and every Sunday I'd show up and the same guys would show up to the class, and I'd ask them, how did you practice last week's lesson? You know, show me what you've done. And no one ever did anything. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, you guys aren't like, I don't even know why you're coming to the class. You know, I did one airbrush class, and one guy out of like the 20 people who attended it actually applied what I did, practiced, and now he's one of the better airbrushers in San Diego. And it's like, I wanted to make it so with this Patreon page, like, people would start practicing. Like I'd give them a little motivation. And if that motivation is getting a free lesson from us, or maybe winning a product from our sponsors, so be it. That, if that gets you motivated to start working and learning, that's great. And that's my main goal, is just to get people practicing, pick up your brushes and start painting, you know?
Yeah, and I had mentioned this before the show, before we started recording. One of my friends, I saw him on Friday night, and he's like, I've got to show you what I've learned. And I'm like, okay. So I go into his little painting area, and he pulls out his wet palette that he's had a while, and he opens it up, and I knew right off he'd watched Aaron's video.
Because that's awesome.
I've taken a class with Aaron in person, right, at Adepticon, and I know how he sets up his palette. And... Mm-hmm. I hadn't actually become a Patreon backer at that point, so I hadn't seen the video, but I knew by looking at the palette, he'd seen it. Aaron had, obviously.
Oh, that's because sweet. He's got
the my mark.
the piece of paper that's about half the size of the total surface of the palette.
Right.
The palette is full up to the top level of the sponge, you know?
He's
got the four paint bottles holding down. Exactly, right? So I knew. Okay, yeah. He's like, I've already gotten my money's worth.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing they did,
super cool.
It changed how I use my wet palette, and I've gotten my money's worth right off.
That's
a really cool story, and I wanted to share that with you because I think it's important.
Thank you. That is really neat, because, you know, for the longest time I was so I couldn't control anything. I was just completely out of control. So if anything good happened, I didn't even know why it happened. It just was a miracle, you know? And so once I started learning how to control my paint to the best of my ability, that's when my painting really started to get better, because I could anticipate what was happening. And that whole thing with the wet palette, it was my way. It took like probably a year and a half, 2 years of just messing with it, wondering why does it work today and why does it not work tomorrow, and, you know, this, that, and the other. And finally, I started figuring it out, you know, just over time. And it's like those people figured it out in the 20-minute video, you know?
Yeah.
No, so that was really cool. And the other cool thing from that is I actually learned something from that wet palette video, because someone asked a question like, hey, where can we get white sponges? And I was like, gee, I don't know. I know Justin McCoy from Secret Weapon was looking at a wet sponge or a white sponge, but I'm not sure where to get them. And Elizabeth goes, well, I just put a napkin under my
just paper towel.
Palette paper. And I was like, that's a great idea. So I was at the game store and they had white napkins. Well, when I got home, all we have is Christmas napkins here. So they have Christmas prints. And I'm like, that's not going to work so well. So I just grabbed a piece of paper out of our printer, cut it in half, folded that piece in half, stuck it down. It, you know, gets saturated with water. And I just put my parchment paper on top. It's a perfectly white wet palette. And I mean, so all these years I've been painting over yellow, you know, just adjusting the colors in my head. And now when I look at it, I'm like, oh, so that's what that color looks like in real life, you know?
Yeah, so I learned something too,
you know, and that's fantastic. You know, I mean, if we can all learn together, you know, that's just all the better, you know?
No, absolutely. And that's another thing, right? You always learn. The only time you stop learning in life is when you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
You can always learn stuff.
Or you're boring.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but let's not talk about Heath on the show.
I love you, Heath.
Yeah, no, I love Heath.
Heath helped out with a lot of our graphics, too, and that was, I sent him a message, and he's like, oh, yeah, it was all Jonathan, and I'm like, yeah, that's not what Jonathan said, but, you know.
Heath's an amazing guy. He's fun to poke fun at, you know.
I would start with a template, and Heath would like, well, you want to do this, you want to do that, because I'm not a graphic designer, you know, I can use Photoshop and stuff like that, but it's always for video purposes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I know how to do lighting effects and stuff actually easier in video programs than I do in Photoshop, which is kind of backwards. But so when it came to making these flyers and the banners and all that stuff, I would create something, then I would get Heath to critique my work so I can clean it up
and fix it. Yeah,
yeah,
kind of like we do with Aaron and Liz for painting, right?
Yeah. Just send me your model. I'll send it back.
Now, how do I make it good?
Well, wait, let me repaint it for you. Okay, yeah. Now it's good.
Oh, now we can say, well, we have this site on Patreon.
Yep.
So I want to ask you something, Paul, since you're one of our patrons. Is there something you'd like to see more? Like, is there something you look forward to from Miniature Monthly you'd like to see come in the future from Miniature Monthly?
Oh, boy, that is a very blanket statement. Like,
there's something so many... come to mind, like, oh, I can't wait till something like this is covered, or I hope they do something like this in the future.
Like a 2017 sexy calendar of me? How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, in a low-cut shirt, Aaron. Like, wow.
That's right, that's right.
Yep.
My brain just burned.
And I'll feed Aaron grapes.
Oh, God.
No, I'm going to stop there before it gets bad.
Suddenly subscriptions drop. Oh! Yeah.
The thing about painting is there's so many different techniques and so many different things to learn. You know, you can take the same class at a con 2 years in a row and come away from that class with different things every time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say. I've taken a lot of classes and I talked to a lot of painters and I love learning about techniques. I'm just not so good at applying techniques. So I can talk to anyone like I'm a pro, and I can critique stuff like I know what I'm talking about. Just don't ask me to do it, right?
No, I can talk painting like no other, and I can't paint at all. Right? I've learned the most common critique from any pro painter to someone else contrast. Is always... You might want to bring up those highlights.
Yeah.
It's just like always can be said. So someone shows me their miniature, it's always the thing. You can probably bring up those highlights a little bit.
Yeah, I know. You did that to me at ReaperCon.
Yeah. and then I started doing, and then I was joking around, started doing to Kathy Waffle, like, on everything she was doing. Including she was, I think she was coloring in a coloring book, and I came up to her, and I was like, I think you should bring up those highlights.
Yeah.
Paul, I wouldn't say that you don't apply what you learn, because when you took my class, you, like, started painting chibis, and you're like, oh, I can do it. I don't know if that lasted.
That's true. But... Some techniques come better than others, and some classes, you know, work better than others. Like, I retain things better from certain teachers. That's true.
Yeah.
This is because you're such a good teacher, something. I guess.
But going back to the, you know, what John was saying about how pretend that you know what you're talking about. 2 years ago at ReaperCon, I was sitting at a table with Justin McCoy and James Waffle and someone else. It may have been Caleb. And this girl walked up and talked to them, asked them opinions on her piece, and then came over to me and asked me, because she just assumed I was a pro painter because I was at this table talking with all the pro painters, right? So,
I gave her my opinion.
I talked to her.
Oops.
No, no. But I gave her my opinion, and I'm like, but by the way, I'm not a pro painter. And she's like, oh. You asked me for my opinion. I'm giving it to you, but you know, take it with a grain of salt.
That's funny. What am I looking forward to?
Obviously, when we get to a little more advanced techniques, I'd really love to see some of that loaded brush again that Aaron did, see how that's evolved, because I'm sure that's evolved since I took his class.
Yeah.
Because all painting skills change and evolve with time. Yes. No artist stays stagnant. And I'm curious to see how Liz's layering technique has changed since I took that class. Was that last December?
In January.
Has it changed?
Oh, was it January? I don't know. It was just after Christmas, right?
I don't know if it's changed because I always am painting,
Well, you wouldn't see it, right? Because you do it every day.
Right.
It has to be someone else who's seen your painting firsthand and then see how it changes.
Right.
And it's also good because you learn so much when you're painting and you watch all these videos, you talk to people, and sometimes you forget things. Like, there's something that worked for you, and you move away from it, you go to something else, but you forget that technique.
Yeah.
Or so sometimes it's good to go back and revisit, right? Like a refresher.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Nice. I'm looking, I'm looking forward to a lot of different things. I can't really pinpoint anything in particular. Yeah.
That's fair. We can't thank you enough for your support on this.
Yeah, definitely. And the cool thing is Elizabeth and I are still on the painting circuit, I guess you could call it, or whatever you want to call it. We're still doing classes at, I'm doing classes at LVO. Both of us are doing Adepticon. So if you were to watch some of the videos and you have one of the same type of classes, that might be a good thing to come do the class in real life. And then, you can ask us right there in real life, hey, this is the problem I'm having with this technique. What am I doing wrong or something? So it's always good to, you see it on video. Seeing it in real life is really helpful. But I noticed once I get a technique kind of down, but I don't have it perfect, when I go back and watch the videos, I start picking up on, how did they move the brush? Were they kind of dabbing the paint or was it a smooth motion? Things like that. Really start dissecting the video to see how they achieve that effect.
And always re-watching really videos, you'll always pull something out of them.
Exactly. The other cool thing with our lessons is a lot of my friends that make painting videos, it's all display level. It's all really high end and it's great. But there's not a whole lot of armies. And since, with my painting company, I paint armies, I probably paint 3 or 4 huge armies a year. And so I have all these techniques to go fast, And so for all these guys that are, going to Adepticons or LVOs and they just want to level up their army painting or whatever, I'm going to be doing a bunch of videos on how to paint fast, but good, having good results. And the other cool thing about that is every technique I've learned for display painting came from painting armies. I was able to do that technique over and over and over again very quickly without fear of messing up because it's an army and it doesn't matter if there's a brush stroke out of place or whatever. And I was able to learn these techniques like non-metallic metal, where to put the highlights, because I just did so many guys in a row that I just started learning where the highlight looked good. And, maybe half of them had bad highlights, but it didn't matter. I was able to just do 100 at a time. So I'm excited about that too. Helping people paint their armies better as well as display type figures. I think we got everyone pretty well covered, with this project. So, and no matter what level you are, I think you'll get something out of our page.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Aaron, Liz, Jonathan, is there anything you'd like to add? Anything that you think we haven't covered?
No, I think we covered everything. We've rambled on for a while. So, I know. I think we're going to start sounding like broken records here, but I really, really want to say thank you to all of our patrons and all of our sponsors. We always, we're always trying to say thank you to guys. And you guys, again, don't know how much it means to us. We appreciate all of your support. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, it's been huge. In the community section on the page, and our Facebook page, it's just, it's been a dream come true. We can't thank everybody enough.
What's, so actually, what's your Facebook page?
It's facebook.com, Miniature Monthly.
Mm-hmm. Or slash Miniature Monthly, I think.
Slash Miniature, perfect. Just want to make sure that's in there. And of course, you you both have personal pages as well, which John, people should follow as well.
Yeah, mine would be the Eldritch Studios Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And mine's Miniature Mistress, and then I also just my own personal page too. I talk to people on my personal page, Facebook, Elizabeth Beckley. So yeah,
me as well.
And I am Aaron? Guild Painting Service, I think. I am so.
We can contact any of us just on our personal pages as well.
Guild Painting Service on Facebook.
Yeah, the Eldritch Studios is all mostly work related, but you're always free to contact me on either page, my page. But if you're someone looking for video production content and stuff like that, just feel free to contact me.
Yes, plug yourselves, people.
Yes, I make awesome Shameless trailers. Plug. That's what I do,
and I paint miniatures. You do indeed.
I paint miniatures too.
All right. Well, on behalf of everyone from here, Antoine is still here, I think.
Yes, I am.
Quiet.
Antoine never talks.
We do these interviews. Well, it's because he has to be here. He is half of my show, right?
Right.
He is the wind beneath my wings, if you will. But if we're doing a show where the people are talking about themselves, there's really not much to say. I didn't talk a whole lot of the show either because you guys kind of just ran with it, which is great. No one's here to listen to me anyway, and they're all here for you guys.
Well, for them too. No one really cares.
We're never inviting
guy.
Aaron back ever again. He just never shuts up.
Oh, man, no, I love it. It makes my job easy. I can sit here. I can paint. I can do whatever. I can apparently randomly hit my keyboard and stop recording or whatever I did that made it stop. It's all good, man. It's all good. No, it was a pleasure to have you all on the show. I really appreciate it, and I'll try to get this out this week to help boost the signal for your Patreon.
Yeah, we'll definitely be posting it everywhere.
Yeah, we'll be sharing it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've had really good luck with our friends and fans and family and everybody just sharing the Patreon page. I had a couple of friends go into a store on Saturday, and they were telling me, "Yeah, I went in there. I started telling people about it, and like half of them had already signed up." They're like, "What?" Oh, wow. So that's really cool. I mean, because, it really does help. We can't be everywhere, and if you like what you're seeing, and you're excited to see us carry forward, definitely, share us with your friends and whatever. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, for the cost of 2 bottles of paint, you get so much content per month.
Yeah.
It's an insane value.
Yeah.
We should market it that way.
Yeah.
No, it's true, right?
Yeah.
It's like how those old UNICEF videos, for pennies a day, you could feed 3 kids. Well, for the cost of 2 bottles of paint, you could learn how to paint.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted something that I could afford.
Teach a man to fish.
I'm like, I think I could afford $5 a month. I could do that, and I would, and especially if I was getting something out of it, learning, that's exciting. And how we've set it up to where, the community can kind of work together and it's like interactive a little bit. I think that makes it more fun, in the long run. So yeah, that was, simple, complex idea, and it worked.
Yeah. It's been a huge team effort from everybody.
You guys have an initial huge success. I can only expect it'll continue growing.
We hope so.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you again for having us, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
And Antoine.
You guys
Antoine.
Are welcome on the show anytime.
Awesome.
Right on.
All right, guys. You take care, and I will speak to you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at eltonioberg, Steve at b_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Broken Prism Reviews, a YouTube channel bringing you game reviews in three parts, unboxing, express gameplay, and a quick rundown of what makes the game stand out. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.